Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Dr. Rita Marie Del Scalzo, and we are here for our business call for the month of February 2014. This is a call where we get together and I'm sharing with you either resources or people that I think are really going to help you in doing the valuable job of growing your practices and running your business in such a way that you get the results that you want. And I'm really excited this month to bring a very special guest. She's actually become a dear friend of mine. We met several years ago in a coaching program, and I've been really impressed with what she's done and how she's grown her business and her passion for helping people like us to get out in front of our target audience and create these powerful speaking engagements that help people to say yes to what we have to offer. And we know that with all that we have to offer is so valuable, and if we don't get in front of the right people and the right people don't get to hear what our message is in such a way that it's compelling and attractive to them, then they can't say yes, and we don't get to grow our businesses. I loved bringing Kim in because she is an expert at getting those speaking engagements and then doing those speaking engagements in such a way that people will say yes to your packages, and not just say yes to come and, you know, do a one-off consultation, but actually say yes to coming in and working with you because you've helped to create the value of that. So I want to tell you a little bit about Kim, and then I'm just going to let Kim take it over. I have a lot of questions I want to ask her, and we're going to have a really nice presentation for you today. So Kim is a speaker, trainer, a business coach, and she's the founder of a company called Serious Women, and that's spelled C-E-R-E-U-S, Serious Women. She works with success-driven women entrepreneurs and exceptional serious men to help them use speaking to build their practice and get all the clients they want. She's been in business since 1995, and that's allowed her to stay at home and raise her three kids while doing the things that she loves. She gets most of her clients through speaking and referrals, and she wants to share her secrets with us. And I know from speaking with Kim that she has worked with holistic practitioners, massage therapists, people like us in the past, and so she knows how to help us to get our engagement. So, Kim, thank you so much and welcome.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Rita. I'm honored that I can be on this with you.
Yeah, I'm excited. And as you know, I told you a little bit about the background. All of our people are holistic practitioners in some way, shape, or form. We have MDs, we have nurses, we have physician's assistants, we have health coaches, massage therapists, people who are passionate about helping the world be a healthier place. And the message that we have is profound. So, yeah, it is. And we have a big message. And I think that a lot of us, because we've come from this world of, you know, being like we help people and we're just very humble that we don't do what we need to get out there and have the engagements and to let people know how valuable what we offer is. So that's why really I'm excited about what you have to share.
Great.
So how did you come to use speaking to do what you do, Well, how did you come to train other people in using speaking? But also I'd like to hear how you came about realizing that speaking was that avenue that you could use.
Yeah, sure. You know, I want to take you back to the start of my, you know, current business, Serious Women, you know, as a business coach, because I have been an entrepreneur since 1995, but I was involved in some programming and some other things back then. And Serious Women turned out to be a different business model than what I was used to before. So it was a struggle for me to get started. And the first year in my business, I had one client the whole year. I was really frustrated by that. And I just remember struggling and how frustrated I really was. And I just couldn't figure out how to get more clients. I was doing a ton of marketing, and apparently I wasn't doing any of the right things because it wasn't working. And I realized I just wasn't getting myself out there. And when I was looking at what other people were doing, I realized, you know, the people who are really getting out there are speaking. And that made me nervous because I had never done any speaking before. I didn't know if I was any good at it. I didn't even know how to get started. And, you know, how do I get booked? And what would I talk about? So But I started asking around with my network, and I landed a few speaking opportunities, and I was really excited about that to get started with it. And during those first few presentations, I really thought I was going to start to get clients, but I didn't. And I'm like, God, why, you know, why is that? Other people are getting clients when they talk, and you know, I was really dumbstruck. I just thought they would naturally want to work with me because I was sharing this great content, and they said that they loved the presentation. But I didn't offer anything. I didn't give them a way to take any action towards getting more support. And that's what I realized after a while, was you've got to give them a call to action. You've got to let them know what is that step that they need to take. So fast forward to now in my business, and I am speaking to rooms comprised of my target market on a regular basis. I'm speaking to groups primarily for free, yet I'm earning thousands of dollars every time I speak. You know, even to groups where I'm not allowed to do any selling. I don't necessarily walk away from the talk with money in my pocket, but I know who in that room is interested in more support. I have a system to follow up with them. And within a few weeks, I can turn that talk into at least 1 to 3 new clients.
Mm. That's awesome. And you know what you mentioned, I really want to make sure everybody's heard, because I've heard it from you being this group over and over again. It's like, I did this talk, but nothing happened. I said, well, what did you do? Did you make an offer? No, I thought that was sleazy to make an offer, right? Whether they've paid to be in your room or they're there for free, you thought it was sleazy to make an offer because you didn't want them to feel like they were being sold. And what you're saying is, what you're offering them is a way to take what you've taught them, which is always just going to be a fraction of what you can help them with, take that to the next level, and you're doing them a disservice by not making them an offer.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's going to be a certain percentage of people in the room who are really excited about your topic. You know, you're sharing some great things. They came for a reason. They want some answers. You're only up there for, you know, what, 45 minutes, an hour, sometimes 20 minutes. There's only so much that you can give them.
Right.
So then you don't want to leave those people hanging.
Right.
So how can they get more support? People are excited when I give them a way to get more support, because that's what they're looking for.
Exactly. Exactly. They're looking for an answer. So let's just start by just giving us an overview of what you plan to cover today with us.
So today I want to share with you some of the most important pieces of what I call my speaking conversion system. This system is the exact system that I use in my own business, and I put it together to be able to share with my clients so that they can see the same results that I'm seeing. It's allowed me to spend less time marketing and more time working with my new clients.
Nice.
So it's designed to support you in using speaking as a way to powerfully get clients. It positions you as an expert in your field, and it allows you to earn what you're worth. Because I was able to raise my rates when I started doing this.
Yeah.
Because people could see the value that I was providing, and they were willing to pay for that. So I want to share the pieces of that system where I feel are the three most costly mistakes that I see entrepreneurs making when they do speak to get clients. They're mistakes that I've made, and I see them over and over again.
Great. Great. So let's begin. This is something I hear all the time. It's like, we want to get out there, we want to get in front of people, but we're scared. Like, we're scared we don't know enough, scared we're not going to say the right things, scared that people aren't going to like us, see people aren't going to take a step forward. There's just so much fear that comes up. And I know, you know, I've known you for a long time, and I'm sure that you've gone through that phase. So I would love to help, you know, help us to see, where do we get started? How do we step beyond that fear?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways of looking at this fear. You know, fear is, speaking is the number one fear that we all have. Not all of us, but it's supposed to be the number one fear in the country. Yeah. And there's a reason for that, because we're getting up in front of people and we feel like we're being judged or criticized. And it's really like that fear of people, fear of being rejected, fear of I'm not good enough, fear of I don't know what to talk about. And you know, and I see people kind of going about things the wrong way. Because the biggest thing that I found with speaking is that you want to be prepared. You want to know, before you even get booked, you want to know what you're going to be talking about so that you can make sure that your topic is not only in alignment with your audience, but it's also in alignment with your business. A lot of times I see people going out and they feel that they're getting prepared by booking a presentation. And then they go back and they say, okay, let me put together a talk that would be a good fit for that audience.
Yeah.
And then they realize, you know, they get there and it's not always a good fit for the audience and it's definitely, you know, usually not a good fit for their business.
Yep.
So I like to have people think of that differently and really think of it as, okay, who first decide who you want to get in front of? Who is an ideal target audience? So think about your ideal clients. You want to make sure that a certain percentage of the room are people that would be ideal clients.
Right. That makes so much sense. And you know what you said about the putting together the presentation to fit the audience, and then you're suddenly invited to this conference, and there's going to be a lot of people there. So you put together this talk, and you go, wait a minute, I don't even have an offer that's aligned with this topic. And so I love the concept of choosing what's in alignment with your business and then seeing how can you fit that, how can you tailor that for that audience. And that's brilliant.
Right. And then that's where people fall short with messing up on the stage because they're not used to this talk. And also I see a lot of people ending up creating a different presentation every time they speak.
Oh, yeah.
Which
I've been there, done
so
that.
So exhausting.
I've been there, done that.
Really
I have thousands
tiring.
Of presentations. So
yeah,
I'm taking notes.
Figuring out what your topic is, what do you want to be known for, and then searching for groups that are a good fit for that topic.
That makes total sense.
A good fit because they have the right audience that's a match for your business.
Right.
And you know that audience is looking for a solution that you're going to be solving during your talk.
Yeah, it's totally right on. So, like I said, I'm taking notes because I know that I can improve how I present, and you know, I like to just present to everybody and talk about whatever, whenever, and that's not necessarily serving the business, or it serves the business in a way that you end up with this huge amount of things that you offer, and it's exhausting. So
yeah, I have a story to share about that. I had a client that she was holding a new workshop every single month, and she wasn't getting any clients, and she was really frustrated, and. You know, so we were taking, that's, you know, one of the reasons she hired me was to try and figure out what's going on here. And what I realized was every month she was creating a new workshop. And she was trying to target her workshop to, she wanted it to be this, she was trying to promote it to the same people. So she felt it needed to be a new topic. Mm. And it was really hard because she was exhausted. Every month she was creating a new topic. She didn't even have time to work with clients because she kept working on these workshops. And then when it came time to analyze the workshop to see why it wasn't converting into clients, we couldn't really say, okay, well, let's take this workshop, analyze it, fine-tune it, and improve it so the next time you hold it, it'll do better. Because there wasn't the next time.
Mm.
So once we chose, you know, we narrowed things down and she chose a workshop that she was going to promote to different lists each month to get in front of a different, you know, to get different exposure to different communities using partners to help her promote, then it became the same workshop every month. Then what she did each month was take a look at, okay, what areas of the workshop do I feel were working? Mm-hmm. What areas should I improve on?
Mm-hmm.
How was my offer? Do I feel it came out right? You know, she was able to practice it over and over again and fine-tune things where she was finally able to get to a point where, oh, my God, now I know if I hold my workshop, I'm going to get clients from it.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's not a guesswork each time because it's consistency and she's been improving it each time.
Exactly. Yeah.
So how does somebody go about picking that? Because they know, you know, especially in health, we want to help everybody. And we've talked a lot about the thing about honing it in on who's your audience, what do you want to be known for. But how would you go about choosing a topic that is going to be something that you can find the right audiences for?
Yeah, that's a huge question. I have so many people asking me that question. What you want to focus on is really thinking about your ideal client, thinking about those people that you're already serving, and what are the reasons that they're coming to you for? What are those big pains and their frustrations and struggles, or, you know, what is ailing them?
Mm-hmm.
And those reasons of why they're coming to you, because those are things that people are looking for solutions for. And they're coming to you for that. You're providing these solutions. You're helping them work through that. And they're coming out with a result at the end. So make a list of what those are. What are the results that your clients are getting from working with you? Now, I'm sure that you're great at what you do. You're an expert at certain skills that you focus on with these clients. So make a list of that. And then just pick one. Pick the results that you feel the majority of your clients are coming to you for.
Yeah.
Something that you want to be known for.
Yeah.
And I want to kind of give an example.
I love that.
And this is an example of a nutritionist. And it's just an example. So let's say you're a nutritionist and you may work with different people, you may work with different issues, but let's say that you know, in thinking about your ideal clients, you know that you've had a lot of clients whose children have ADHD. And you know that you've been doing a great job at reversing these ADHD symptoms and getting the kids off medication. And you may help other people with other issues as well. But focusing on the urgent pain of these ADHD clients can help you to become known as an expert
mm-hmm.
in this area, in your community, because you are the one that is speaking specifically on that.
Yep.
And people are going to know you as a nutritionist, so come to you for other things. But when you're known for something specific like that, you will become, and you're speaking on it, it continues right on a regular basis, you will become and be known as an expert on that.
Mm-hmm.
And people who know others who have children with ADHD, they're going to recommend you. Like, oh, my God, you have to go to this woman. She specializes in that. So
yeah.
They'll be drawn to you.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense because people, we want to say, oh, yeah, I see people listing. I can help you with fatigue and urinary tract infections and da-da-da-da-da. And maybe you can, but they see you as a generalist. So if they have a specific problem, they're going to want to go to you because you're specializing in that area. And it may be that you're going to be using, like we teach, all of the other things that are related, right? They come into you for hot flashes. If you're known for menopause, they're going to come into you for hot flashes. Doesn't mean you're just going to memorize and learn all the hot flash herbs and stuff. You're going to be doing all the things we teach, like, you know, looking at their digestion, looking at their adrenals, looking at their thyroids. But that's what you're known for, and people who have that problem are going to gravitate much more readily to you. It's interesting because all you have to do is do a talk. I did this at a conference many years ago, and I did a talk on thyroid. And I do a lot of talking about fatigue, and thyroid is one of the ways that you can look at solving fatigue. So I did this talk on thyroid. And then as I'm walking through, you know, later on, I'm just walking through and talking to somebody, I heard somebody across the way go, oh, there's the thyroid expert over there. I've just done one talk about it. They'd never heard me speak before, but all I had to do was one talk, and I became the thyroid expert. So I love your concept of that. It's like, what are you passionate about? What do you love to do? What do you see a lot of? And what do you want to be known for? And then suddenly you do one or two talks, and you're known as that expert, because, and especially if it's not something other people in your community are talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Great.
And people, you know, it's not just the talk, too. It's all of the media that you get before you do presentations, because you know, if you're talking to certain groups, then they'll put you in the newsletter so that the members know that that this talk is coming up. Certain people will do PR and you'll end up in the newspapers. And so even if people don't come to your talk, they'll start to see your announcements in different places about your upcoming talks. Right. And I've gotten clients just from that. Like, oh, I hear that you're really good at this. I see you all over the place doing a talk on that. And I thought I'd give you a call. And, you know, these are people that I have no idea who they are. But I'm starting, you know, you start to become known as the expert on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I love that. Because it's repetition. And I remember somebody who was a PR expert was saying she just started to send stuff over and over again to these different publicist kind of, you know, newsletter, newspapers and stuff with her as the expert of this, the expert of that. And then when she finally called them to say, hey, I'd like to talk to you about this, that, or the other thing, they go, oh, yeah, I've heard of you. Well, they heard of her because she'd sent them all these things. Oh, this is where I talked about this. This is where I talked about that. And they suddenly knew her. So it's really getting out there and becoming known as that expert. And this goes for speaking as well as, like, telesummits or, you know, getting interviews on people's blog talk radio shows or other online type of events too, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I gave the example that I gave was, like, really specific, and I'd just like to bring up another story about a client that I was working with. She was a parent coach, and when she first came to me, she wanted to do speaking, but she's like, Kim, I have no idea where to go. I have no idea what to talk about. And she just felt overwhelmed. And I was kind of thinking, you know, I had said to her, well, what do you mean? You know, parents are everywhere. What, you know, why is that an issue? And she's like, well, that's the problem. You know, where do I go? Because they are everywhere. And it was just causing her to feel overwhelmed with that. She had such a broad range of types of parents that she worked with that she couldn't figure out how to make this marketing tool work for her. So when we narrowed down her business, she narrowed it down to parents of toddler age children. And once she did that, the light bulbs went off. She's like, oh my God, I know exactly where to go, where parents of toddler age children are hanging out, where I could get in front of them. Groups started she already knew about them. She just hadn't thought about them until she narrowed her niche a little bit.
Yeah.
And now that it was toddler age kids, she knew what topics to talk about because their struggles are different than teenagers.
Interesting. And you know, the interesting thing is, and I know what some of you are thinking, because I've known you for long enough to know that you're thinking, but the more I narrow it down, the smaller my audience becomes. And then I'm not going to get as many clients because I'm much narrower. And if I meet somebody in an elevator and I say, oh, I help whatever, and they're not that person, then I've lost an opportunity where if I say to that person, oh, I help everybody get their energy back or get their focus back or whatever, then everybody's more of a candidate. But you're saying that it actually works the other way, that when you can narrow it down, as long as it's not such a ridiculously small, you know, thing that I help 5-year-olds with tick bites or something, you can really do better when you narrow it down.
The right people know to go to you. You know, when I first started with Serious Women, I was telling people I was a marketing coach, and people were like, okay, that's nice. You know, we could all use help with our marketing, right? So it didn't really get me anywhere. But the more and more that I narrow down, like when I really narrow down to saying, okay, I work with people to use speaking to get clients, all of a sudden, all those people that are struggling with that particular thing were coming to me.
Right.
And it made it, it actually gave me more clients because then people knew if they were the right fit for me.
Right.
Or not. And it was interesting how that happens, but I see that happening all the time.
Cool. Okay, so we've narrowed it down. We've got a topic that we want to present on. What do we do next?
Okay, so now that you know who you're talking to and what your topic is, now you're ready to go out and find some places to speak.
Right.
So your first job is to research some organizations, because you want to make sure that the groups that you're going to are a good fit. And there's two types of, you know, there's a lot of different channels you can use. But the main ones are finding some groups that already form. You know, maybe they get together on a monthly basis and they're looking for guest speakers monthly. Those are great because there's already a built-in audience that shows up to these meetings. You don't need to do any promotion or marketing or anything. You're just showing up.
Yeah.
That's the nice thing about it. The con is you're not sure if the whole audience is quite a good fit for you. You
yeah.
may need to generalize your talk a little bit more to fit that audience. But as long as there's a good percentage of ideal clients in that room, then it would be a good choice.
Right.
And then in
the groups, right, you're going to look for these groups. In the health arena, there already are in a lot of localities. There's the local celiac group. There's the fibromyalgia support group. There's a number of different health challenges that we work with or can work with that already have these groups in the area. So that's a great way to start.
Yeah, those are really good, definitely. And any associations around those types of issues are good.
Great.
And remember, too, that it doesn't necessarily have to be a large group. I've spoken to groups of two or three or five and gotten a client from that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can make a few thousand dollars off of a really small group.
Yep.
Yep. So it doesn't necessarily mean that if I'm speaking to a larger group, it's more successful, because sometimes those smaller groups can be more intimate and engaging.
Right.
And you can connect a lot more with them, so it can be more enrolling.
Right.
And to convert them into clients. So don't judge the size of the group, especially if you're just starting out and you really need all the practice that you can get.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Another type of group is, forming it yourself, creating a workshop where maybe you have an email list that you're going to promote it to. Maybe you know some other people that could promote to their list
mm-hmm.
for you, and you know, get a bunch of partners to help promote this workshop for you, to fill the room. And you know, that's a little more complicated because you're adding some marketing to that. You've got to promote it to fill the room. On the other hand, you know that everyone coming is really interested in that topic.
Yes.
Because that's why they're showing up.
That's right.
So there's a bonus to that.
Yep. And I've done those kind of things, and they are quite lucrative, because especially if you have a plan and as to what you're going to offer, you can have as little as 5 or 10 people in the room. And if it's the right group, they're hungry. They're looking for what you have to offer.
Yeah, and it's more, they're more connected to you versus, oh, well, I always come to this meeting because it's monthly and I don't necessarily know you. I'm just showing up because I'm networking, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Versus this workshop style that you're promoting. I mean, they're learning about you. Is this somebody that I want to go to their workshop? So they're going to research you a little bit more before they come. So they're an easier sell, if you will. It's easier to convert them at that type of an event. So you can, you know, there's a possibility to earn more income from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes total sense. That makes total sense. So, you know, if you're new to speaking, you're not known, right? We don't have a reputation in the area. How do you get booked? Are you going to have trouble? Are people going to want to? How do you even approach these people? Is there a strategy for that?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And, you know, this is definitely a place where many people get stuck because they're unsure of how to get that first booking.
Yeah.
And more importantly, I see people getting stuck on how to get booked over and over again, because you know, a lot of times I see people just waiting for the opportunity to show up, and they don't show up often enough to actually have a business. And so the questions are really like, where would I speak? Who do I contact? How do I know if I'm calling the right person? I've never spoke before. So what I do is there's two things. I'll use the internet to research some groups. Internet is great. Great way to find groups, great way to look up contact information, you know, who is the program director of this group, or someone in charge of programs, or someone in charge of events. If I can't figure it out, I'll call the president. There's always a president or an organizer of the group. So it's a great way to get a list going using the internet. I also use my network. I do a lot of networking. And primarily when I'm networking, I'm trying to find more speaking engagements. So I ask at meetings, hey, this is a topic that I have, and I'm looking for groups of this type. I'm specific about the type that I am looking for so that they can really help me. And I say, you know, do you attend any meetings around that top, you know, around that type of group? Do you know of any? I mean, I just outright ask people, and I always leave a networking meeting with a bunch of ideas.
Oh, nice.
And I also call people in my network. Hey, I'm looking for some more speaking opportunities, wondering if you have any suggestions. People are always willing to give out names and stuff like that. So once I get the names of some groups, I'll then ask those connections, well, do you know who I should talk to in the group? A lot of times they may or may not know, but they usually can throw out a name of somebody on the board or somebody who helps with the organizing that they can put me in touch with.
Okay.
And I try to get an introduction to the person. Sometimes that happens and sometimes it doesn't. And when it doesn't, at least I have a name and an email or a phone number so I can contact the person and say, so-and-so thought I should give you a call. She said that you are involved with this group and that my topic that I have might be a good fit for this group. Wondering if you had a few minutes to talk with me about that.
Mm.
The fact that I said so-and-so told me to call makes such a huge difference.
Okay.
Than just calling the person and saying, I saw you on the internet and thought I'd
got
see
it.
If it's a good fit.
Right.
It definitely changes the energy of the conversation and the way that the person on the other line responds to me.
Makes sense. So one of the things people might ask is like, well, how many people, like, because you don't want to get rejected, right? Nobody wants to get rejected. And obviously, if you're going to do this, it's a numbers game. And not everybody is going to say yes to your topic, even if it is the best topic in the world. So, like, so people could expect, would you say that out of 10 people you call, one says yes, five say yes, eight say yes? Is there a general number we can expect so that we know that, hey, there's going to be some rejection here and it's okay?
Yeah, you know, I find that varies a lot. But do expect to make a bunch of calls. Do expect people to say no. You know, you may need to call at least 10 people to get a speaking engagement.
Mm-hmm.
One way that you can improve your results with it is to just really be prepared for the conversation. Because they're going to want to know what you're going to be talking about. They're going to want to know what the members are going to walk away from that talk with. Like, how is this going to benefit my members?
Right.
Why should I bring you in? So if you can answer that very confidently and powerfully, they'll get excited about it if it's a good fit.
Right. So kind of a bullet point, almost a bullet point list if you were writing, you know, by the end of this presentation, you will be able to. So you give them like really results-oriented bullets, juicy bullets that the person could say, oh, yeah, my people need that. Oh, yeah, my people want that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then I'll also kind of have a discussion with them. Like, do you feel that, you know, I'll talk about my topic a little bit, and I'll just say, do you feel that that would be something your members are interested in? Mm-hmm. Kind of letting that other person participate in the discussion with me, so it doesn't feel like I'm just convincing her that she should bring me in.
Right.
But discussing with her, let's see if it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Kind of get a feel from her whether she does think it would be a good fit or what would need to shift to make it a good fit.
Great. Yeah, because there may be like slight tweaks in the direction that you take something that would fit a group much better, you know, a group of moms versus a group of stay-at-home moms versus working moms, for example. You might be able to help both of those moms with the situation, but you're going to use slightly different language in presenting
it. Different language, different stories.
Different stories, et cetera. Yeah. So you mentioned about just having one presentation. But, you know, people like me who, like, I don't want to teach the same thing over and over again, or I always feel like everybody's heard this before, even though that group hasn't, but because I've done it 10 times, I think everybody's heard it before. Is it okay to have multiple, like a repertoire? Oh, you have these little three different presentations that you can do when you go out, or is it best to just stick with one?
Yeah, it depends on where you're at with speaking. If you're just starting out with it, and you haven't yet successfully given a presentation and got clients from that, then what I suggest is to have one talk and fine-tune that talk. Keep giving it, keep analyzing it and fine-tuning it and changing it until you get to a point where you know, if I give this talk, I'm going to get some clients.
Yep.
You've figured out that process. You've figured out what needs to happen with that talk to make that work. And then, you know, and then go make some money with it for a while. Go give it a few times and get some clients from it. And then you can choose then to add a second talk to your repertoire. And then do the same thing with that second one. Keep giving it, analyzing it, fine tuning it and changing it until you're successful with the second one.
Yeah.
And getting clients from it. Usually the second one doesn't take as long to get clients from that because you've learned through the first one, you know, kind of how the process goes.
Right. That makes sense.
But then if you do that and you get your second one going well, you can have, a list of a few different topics which can be useful for returning to groups. If you want to go back and speak again to a group that was good.
Right.
So you have a different topic that you can present.
Yeah, that sounds good. But this sounds time-consuming, right? To have to, you know, go through this and do all this, is this something that people have the time to fit in to their busy life?
Absolutely. So, you know, I kind of thought the same thing when I got started because I was looking at these people and hearing about people that were speaking, you know, 20 to 30 times a month.
Whoa.
And I have three kids. I don't have time to go out 20 to 30 times a month. Like, there's no way I could do that. So, you know, really think about how much money do you want to make from speaking? What kind of lifestyle do you want? You know, maybe speaking one to two times a month is all you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So think about how much do I want to make from speaking and how much is a client worth to me over the course of a year?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see, well, how many times would I have to speak in order to make that much income from speaking? And I can give you some scenarios.
Sure.
And I'm not sure where people on the call are with their income and in their packages and things like that, but let's say that over the course of a year, a client in this scenario is worth $2,000.
Okay.
And let's say you are going to speak twice a month and maybe you're just starting out so you get one client every time you speak. But you spoke twice and that client is worth $2,000, so that's $2,000 times 2. You made $4,000 that month from your two presentations. Now, if your client is worth more, $3,000, you know, $3,000 times 2 clients, you could potentially make $6,000 that month.
Mm-hmm.
And if you fine-tune your talk over time to to a point where now maybe you get two clients instead of one every time you speak. So you just got four clients that month at $3,000 each. Four times $3,000 is $12,000.
Yeah, so it could be pretty lucrative to do it.
And that's only speaking a couple times a month.
Right.
So, you know, what are the areas you can shift? You can speak more often. You can increase your package rates, or you can fine-tune your talk so that you get more clients every time you talk.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different ways to do that.
Yeah.
So if we've got, do you like build up this group of people? Like for you, do you go back in and speak to the same groups over and over, or are you always looking for new ones? Do you find that they want to have you back on a regular basis?
It depends on the group. So some groups have me come back. Some groups require that it's a different topic,
mm-hmm.
where other groups have enough turnover that if I come back a year or 18 months later, I can come in and speak on the same topic. And then other groups are just really always looking for new speakers, and they don't really care too much about having repeat people. So it depends on the group. So I am always looking for new groups,
mm-hmm.
or forming a few groups of my own with some joint venture workshops that I do.
And how are those working for you? Do you find that those are as lucrative, more lucrative than the others?
They're definitely more time consuming because you have to help promote and line up partners to do that. But on the other hand, I do end up getting more clients that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the workshops I can charge for, so I can get a little cash from that. And, you know, the cash from the private clients that I generate. So I try to do, you know, for me, I do one of those types of workshops once a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got the other speaking that I do each month.
Okay. And how many are you doing? Are you doing two a month? Is that what you're pretty much doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. So
yeah.
Besides like going on the internet and doing research on the target audiences, are there other ways to find things to speak at? Are there speaker boards? Are there specific websites that, I mean, are there any other resources that we could call upon to help us with
yeah,
that?
Yeah, there's different speaker directories. You know, there's depending on your area where you live, you know, that you may or may not have more options. But I know, you know, I live in the Boston area. So if you live in like a, you know, a city type area, you obviously have more options. So there's speaker directories where you would be listed as a speaker
mm-hmm.
on that directory. And anyone who's looking for speakers on certain topics, you know, you would show up in the search that they do. Some of those are free. Some of them you have to pay to be listed.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a lot of states have a directory of associations
mm.
in their state. So if you can find one for your area, it'll list all different associations that that exist. And, you know, you can kind of look through that to even to just get ideas of, oh, I hadn't thought of talking in front of that type of group before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then there's meetup.com.
Yep.
Which always has all kinds of groups on any topic imaginable.
And do you recommend starting your own meetup, or do you usually capitalize on other people, just go in and say, oh, that group might want to hear what I have to say?
Yeah, creating your own group through meetup.com can actually work very well.
Yeah.
If it is a different strategy than speaking, there's more to it than just, you know, going in and speaking each time, because you don't want to always be the only speaker for your group, because people will get sick of hearing you, and you're always going to have to create a new topic.
Yeah.
To speak about. So, again, you're creating too many talks. It gets time-consuming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it is also a great way of, you know, getting exposure, being known as an expert, occasionally being the speaker. I do have a meetup group, and I like to use it as a way to fill in, like, oh, well, I kind of have, you know, April's kind of low for me. I don't have a couple speaking engagements that month, so I'll be the speaker for my meetup group.
Mm.
So it helps me to fill my calendar.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes total sense.
But you know, but then you've got the added work of, do you want to be in charge of the group? Do you want that responsibility? You've got to promote it and get people to show up and
right. Find
a venue for it.
And there are so many out there that they're on every topic imaginable. There's so many related to health and wellness and fitness and all, yoga, massage. There's so many of those. And I've spoken at a few other people's. I have my own meetup, but I've spoken at other people's meetups. And it's quite a nice thing. I did it long before I knew how to do it. And I'd make a specific offer. I just talked, you know, and then hoping that people would say, yeah, they're going to come visit and see me. And periodically over the years, I got a couple of people, but it was just not the same as if I were to do it now. Yeah.
Mm. Well, one thing, you know, meetup organizers, you know, they have this great, you know, they want to start a group, they get all excited about it, and then they realize it gets difficult to keep holding events. So that works in our favor if we contact those organizers and
right. Say,
hey, I've got this great idea for a seminar that might be a good fit for your group. Would you be interested? And a lot of times people are like, sure, you're going to help me put together an event? All right. So
yeah. You've
got the seminar material. They've got the list of people to promote to. It can work out well.
Right. Right. It does. I've had people approach me, too, and we've had people come in. Yeah. And I love it. I think it's great. People love it because it gives you some new energy in the room and new
mm-hmm. Stuff.
So we've had a lot. We've covered a lot here, and I would love it if you could just kind of pull it together and kind of summarize it, and then I know that you have some resources that you can share with people to help them to actually start doing this.
Yeah, sure. So in summary, you know, you want to start off with focusing on who is your ideal target audience. And that may or may not be different than your target market. Your target audience may need to be a little more general than your target market for your business. May or may not, it depends. But focusing on the who. And then once you know the who, what are you going to talk about? What is that urgent pain or the frustrations and challenges that you have a solution for that you can bring to that audience? And then you can go out and start researching and contacting places to start getting booked. And there, you know, when you're speaking, you also want to make sure, if we didn't touch upon this yet, you want to make sure that during your presentation, you are offering a call to action at the end of the presentation. At the beginning, I spoke a little bit about making sure that, you know, there's people in the room that are going to want more support on what
Absolutely.
You just mentioned. So give them that step that they can take with you so that they are getting more support. You know,
yeah.
What would that step look like?
What would it look
would
like?
It be,
that's a question. You know, is it something, in your experience, do people do better if they then offer, say, a free consultation or a low-cost come and talk to me or a specific low-priced thing or a free thing? What's your experience with that? How do you best
I love offering a consultation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's generally what I lead my clients into doing, offer the consultation. It's a great way, like let's say you go to a group and they say, well, you're not allowed to sell. Well, you can say, well, I would love to be able to offer this free consultation to your members because there's going to be a certain percentage of people in the room who are looking for additional support, and this is a great free way to get that.
Yeah.
And I find that group organizers are excited that I'm offering that because I'm not selling at the talk. I'm just
right. Getting
them to sign up for a consultation. And then during the consultation, that's when they can convert into a client.
Right. And that's where you can use, we've already had Bill Barron come and speak and his Master of Enrollment. I know a number of people have gotten to his system. This is a way that you get people in the door to sit down with that enrollment conversation, and you already know they're targeted because they've heard you speak. They're kind of familiar with you. It's not like, you know, somebody referred them out of the blue and then you're talking to this complete stranger. They know you, in fact, and they've already decided that they like you or they wouldn't have signed up for this consultation. So they're much more targeted enrollment conversations.
Yeah, and you only need to get a few people in the room to sign up, because then you're holding these, and you're, you know, depending on your conversion rate with the consultation, you can decide how many clients you might get.
Right.
You know, if you can usually convert one out of three of your consultations into a client, then you know you only need to get like three or six consultation sign-ups to get a client or two.
Right. Right. And when you do that, there was a specific question that came up as you were saying that. So when you do that, do you have like a limiter on it? Do you say, well, I only have, you know, every month I offer X number of consultations and I have this many, you know, sign up here if you're interested, that kind of thing? Or do you just, how do you do it?
I don't. I've spoken to rooms of 20 to 40 people and had 50% of the room sign up, 50 to 75% of the room. And I don't end up holding that many. Some people end up dropping out. But what happens is I love when that happens because there's all this excitement in the room and people are like, oh, are you going to sign up? Yeah, I think I'm going to sign up too. And people are all talking about it and signing the form and passing it in, and it like gets the other people in the room like, oh, wow, look at all these people signing up. Maybe I should sign up.
Mm.
So I feel limiting it would kind of take away some of that excitement that happens sometimes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I know people talk about, you know, have a limit or whatever, but my limit is really you need to sign up for the consultation before you leave today.
Mm.
That's the deadline
limiter.
They have. You know, think about it now. It's free. It shouldn't take too long to think about it. Sign up before you leave. And then
you tell them,
you know,
that there's a value
them.
To that consultation, that normally you would charge people like $100 for that consultation or something?
Sorry, what was the question exactly?
Do you, when you're offering this free consultation, do you tell them, hey, I'm going to give you this free consultation, or do you say, look, you know, just because I'm speaking to you today, I normally charge $100 for an hour of my time or whatever, and what I'm going to be offering you today is you can come in and talk to me for free. Or do you just not give it a value?
I don't give it a value.
Don't give it a value. Okay.
But, you know, I'm clear on, like, you know, the benefits they're going to get out of it.
Right. As a result of this consultation, we're going to hone in on this. So we're going to offer you two or three strategies for that. We're going to give you a long-term plan for, you know, how I think you should be moving forward or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the value, they want to sign up because of the value they feel they're going to get out of it.
Right.
You know, and I share a lot of people who go through these consultations have that aha moment around what they're struggling with. You know, and I really just build a case for the benefits that are coming from that.
Yes.
Making sure that they realize this is a structured call, not just a free session. There's some structure to it.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, a lot of people are jaded by that, you know, oh, it's just going to be a sales call. But you want to really present that it's going to be, you're going to give them value.
Yeah. And some people know it's a sales call, but they are excited about it anyway.
Anyway, yeah. Oh, yeah, I've signed up for some of those, and then I'm like, oh, God, now I have to say no to this person. They're so nice, I don't want to say no, but I don't really need what they have to offer, whatever. Anyway,
and then one thing I know, too, with the holistic area, the holistic health areas, sometimes I see people in that area having more success getting people to experience a session and then doing the enrollment conversation after they've experienced the session.
Mm.
So in those types of cases, you may want to offer a coupon for someone coming in for a free session, but some kind of discounted session with you so that they can experience what it would be like working with you.
Yeah. I've worked it both ways. I used to say, I'm not going to give away free sessions because I didn't know how to convert people on those sessions. So like everybody's going to want it. I'm going to have 100 free sessions, and then, you know, I'll go broke. But then once I learned how to do it, now I'll do free sessions. But I used to charge like $150 for those enrollment conversations because I gave them great value. They got to experience what it was like working with me, and then I'd make an offer at the end. So there's a lot of ways that you can do it. But you want to make it an easy yes, because when they've only experienced you for, what, 40 minutes, an hour and a half, maybe at the most, 20 minutes maybe, then you really want it to be an easy yes, so that it sounds like an irresistible yes.
Yeah. Because then they get that, you know, once they say yes to the enrollment consultation, then you get a whole hour one-on-one with them during the consultation, where they're experiencing more of you, and it's
right.
easier to say yes to the high ticket package.
Exactly.
So there's three things that I want to mention, Rita Marie. Three things that I feel you need to know if you're going to use speaking to stand out as an expert and get all the clients that you want and really increase your income. You know, three things that you can focus on. So the first thing is learning how to get booked over and over again to the right audience. Really learning how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing is learning how to put together the right pieces of a presentation so that you're up there inspiring, engaging, and leading your audience into the next step of getting support from you. And then the third thing is learning how to craft your invitation to that next step in a way that gets your audience excited to sign up.
Right. That makes total sense. And these things take some practice, right? So how do you suggest people go about learning how to do these things in detail?
Well, the thing that there's a free gift that I want to share with your listeners. Can I talk about
Great.
That?
Yes, please.
Okay, so I put together a speaker's toolkit. And it's a great way of getting started with that number one thing that I mentioned, on learning how to get booked over and over again to the perfect audience. The speaker's toolkit is a way to attract group organizers to be excited to bring you in to present so you can gain more exposure and attract all the clients that you do want. And, you know, this is one of the biggest questions I often hear is, how do I get booked consistently?
Yeah.
With this speaker's toolkit, what I'm providing is the exact scripts, templates, checklists, and samples that I use in my own business when I'm calling group organizers. So what you do is you take these scripts and templates that I use, fill in your own information, and that will help you to prepare for your conversations with the organizers.
Wow.
So that you can feel professional and confident and know exactly what you should be saying to these people. And also what you should walk away from the call with. Like a list of, like, these are the logistical things that I should walk away from the call with.
Awesome.
It just helps you to know what to say, when to say it, what questions to ask.
We all like scripts for sure. So what about the others? Are there resources for how to put together the plan and then the offer? How to structure the thing? I know there's a number
of courses. I have my speaking conversion system. Did you want me to mention that?
You can mention it, sure. Is that something that they can, or will they get access to information about that when they sign up for your free gift?
Yeah, they'll get access to that later. So I wasn't planning on. Yeah,
Just in the light of time, it might be a good idea, because I wanted to open up for questions, and I see that there's a number of people have jumped in. So
Let me share the link for the speaker toolkit.
Please. I'm looking to see if it's actually up on the site too, so they can get it. Go for it.
Okay, so the link, if you want access to the speaker toolkit, is at seriouswomen.com/speaker toolkit. I'm going to spell this and say it again. So serious is spelled CERUS. seriouswomen.com/speaker toolkit.
Great. Yeah, and if you're on the web, if you're listening on the web, just click that says free gift from Kim Reddington. You can just click on that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to make it easy for everybody. All right. So do you have time for a few questions?
I do.
Great. I would love for you guys, if you've got any questions for Kim, just raise your hand, star two. I see Tony on the line. She'll probably have some questions. She always has great questions. And a bunch of you that are on the line that probably have some great questions. So go ahead and do a star two to raise your hand. If you're on the web, go ahead and type in. Cassandra says, thank you, Kim. This was very beneficial. Thanks for the free gift. So thank you. And I'm having trouble with my chat. So the chat I'm not seeing. So go to the Q&A part and type in your questions there, because my chat, for some reason, it just went out to lunch and it won't come back. So who's got a question? Raise your hand, star two. I know some of you already started to do some speaking and you may have some questions about how. And then let's open up Tony's line. Hi, Tony.
Hello, Dr. Rita Marie. Hello, Kim. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. I love the information that you provide, and it's so timely for me. I'm actually going to be speaking at a holistic health summit in Baltimore on March 28th, and I was struggling with what to present. They kind of came up with a topic for me, but it's broad enough that I think, based on what you told me, that I can put in what I want to put in, hopefully reach my target audience. So I will tell you a little bit, and then I'll have my question. The this seminar, this summit, is designed to meet the needs of lay people interested in improving their personal health, as well as healthcare professionals who are interested in learning more about holistic living or holistic healing modalities and connecting with other healthcare practitioners. And I just kind of ignored the healthcare practitioners, and I'm mostly going to concentrate on lay people interested in improving personal health, primarily through plant-based diet. All of these people who are speaking are proponents of plant-based eating. Having said that, I have figured out that I am leaning towards my target audience, after a lot of hit and miss, are people who are like me, who started out as vegetarians, raw foodists, and created some health problems because they didn't have balance in their diet or balance in their lives. And that includes blood sugar imbalances, which you wouldn't normally see, I think, or think you would see in vegetarians. But when they start looking at all these eat more fat, don't eat fat, eat fruit, don't eat fruit, that a lot of them are experiencing the same types of imbalances as people who eat standard American diet food. So, having said that, the topic that they gave me was, I have it here, it's fundamentals of endocrine health.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I'm hoping it would be appropriate to just hone in on blood sugar imbalances, because thanks to the wonderful Dr. Rita Marie, I already have a program I'm comfortable talking about that's geared towards vegetarians who get it wrong, as well as standard American diet eaters, because normally, you know, we're talking about people who are meat eaters and don't eat well, they're going to have blood sugar imbalances. But the audience that I want to reach are those vegetarians that are dogmatic and sticking to a script and ignoring their health. So is that appropriate? Would that is there anything that you would ask me that you would recommend I do differently in the trying to reach the specific target audience of vegetarians? I'm also thinking about offering free assessments, like general assessments while they're there, and having them fill it out and sign up for a free consultation.
Yeah, Rita Marie, I'm wondering if you could answer the question she had around, you know, she's got this topic already chosen for her, and
yeah,
you know, because you do want to narrow it down a little so that you're gearing it and aligning it with your specific business,
right,
your niche.
Right. Yeah. I think it's very doable, Tony, because, you know, think about it. If you were going to go into the fundamentals of the endocrine system, and what do we have, like a 3 or 4 hour module on that, right? There's so much to cover. So you basically can start with endocrine system. What is the endocrine system? And how does the endocrine system affect you in your day-to-day life? And we think about the endocrine system as this and this, and you may be thinking that we're talking estrogen and progesterone when we talk endocrine system, but there's so many of these other hormones that need to be balanced, and one of the ones that everybody's overlooking is the blood sugar issue. And the blood sugar issue feeds into all these others in this way, and you could make those parallels right at the beginning, and then you can do a deep dive. So you do that initial overview of the endocrine system, and then you can do the deep dive into blood sugar and how it affects the entire endocrine system. Okay. And then they're going, what if I have a blood sugar imbalance and that's why I have hot flashes? Oh, I've been on thyroid medication and maybe that's why, because I have this blood sugar issue. So you're getting them thinking in ways they've never thought before. And then you offer assessments, which you have tons of them in your done-for-you package for the ISBT part of the program.
Yes.
That you can pull out some assessments and say, well, look to see if this is an issue for you.
Yes.
And then you can sign them up for a consultation from there.
And I'll have my iPad there so that I have a pop-up scheduler that they can just go ahead and schedule right there. And then I have another question related. And because I'm not getting paid for this event per se, but there's a lot of marketing, they are giving me some airtime on a radio station.
Ooh.
I know, and I'm a little afraid, I must admit. And I want to make sure, I know you've given me some pretty good hints, but can you reiterate what I can do to make sure that I capture people's imaginations, that I get them engaged, that I call to action?
Because there you only have a few minutes, right? If it's a radio spot, you probably have 30 seconds to 2 minutes or something.
Well, you know what? The lady who was going to be interviewing me saw the agenda and liked what I had to offer so much because it was different. And she talked to me offline for 30 minutes and said she's going to give me a whole hour.
Wow.
Oh, I know.
Holy cow, Tony. This is awesome.
I know, and I'm scared to death. But she said,
well, you're doing this talk for the conference. I wonder if you can use the same talk for the radio show.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Yeah.
And she said she's going to keep it very conversational because she said it's such an unknown field, and yet it's so important for our health that she said she assured me that it won't be anything that I can't handle. But I just want to make sure that I walk away, you know, with something that's going to lead to money.
Exactly.
Well, and if you're offering the consultations, your money is going to come from the client paying you.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
So you have to ask her if you can, you know, one of the things that you find helpful is people hear all this stuff and it get a little confused and they don't know what to do next. And if you're wondering what to do next, can I offer them to just do a free phone consultation with me.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you make that sound like, you know, by now you address those things that what's in their mind, which is like, holy crap, she just told me all this stuff. Where do I begin? You may be wondering, oh my God, there's so much to this. Where do I begin? And I would love to help you with that. And I can help you with that. If we just were to sit down for whatever time you want to do, 45 minutes, a half hour, an hour, whatever, I can hone in on, and then you give them the benefits like Kim just described, right? You hone in on what are the deliverables, like 3 juicy bullet points. I'll hone in on this. I'll help you to this. And as a result, I'll be able to give you some long-term strategies for.
Wow. Okay. I can do this.
You can do this.
You can.
Yeah,
and Kim, you can
address the fear, because I know, like, Kim has done a really beautiful presentation. She's very confident, but I've known Kim over the years, and I've known that underneath that, there's a fear, even though she's coming across beautifully, and all of you have that same thing. You may think that everybody's hearing, oh, my God, I'm scared. Are they going to like me? Am I doing this right? But you're coming across in this very competent way. And I know you, Tony, you know, very well have that ability to do that. So we all are going to have that fear.
Yeah.
The fear is there. It's how you use the fear. Are you going to let the fear paralyze you, or are you going to let the fear empower you? And
yeah,
I'd
like to
the
speak
fear
to
too.
That a little bit.
Yes, please. That's why I thought you'd be perfect to speak to that.
Yeah, because with the fear, if you're afraid, if there's fear when you're starting something, it's because you're focusing on yourself. Once you focus on your audience and get present to your audience and connect with them, the fear immediately dissipates.
Yep.
Because you cannot focus on your audience and be fully present for them and think about your fear at the same time. So really think about, how am I serving this audience? What do they need to hear from me? Connect with them before you speak, and just be there for them. They're there because they're interested in this topic. They want to hear what you have to say. You have this great knowledge. Share it with them. Give them what they want to hear.
Awesome.
That's all they want.
Yep.
And some food I'm going to be preparing, too. They'll be all over that, too. So.
And the food.
Awesome. They'll love it. Thank you.
Thank
so
you.
Much.
That's a great answer. That's a great answer, Kim. That's exactly what people need to hear.
It is. And I'll let other people chime in. I have some other questions if we have time on the back end, but I don't want to totally hog it up.
Okay. Well, we'll come back to you if there's time. I think I see that Beverly has her hand up, so let's get Beverly on. Hi, Beverly, and thank you, Tony. Those are great.
Hi, Reed Marie, and thank you, Kim. Your talk's going beautifully. I really enjoy the information you're sharing with us. And I'm laughing because you already answered the question I was waiting to ask. Exactly that, the fear factor of speaking and getting out there and being told, of walking away and having nobody sign up and feeling like a flop, and that is huge. And you just, and by the way, the first thing I want to tell you, Rita Marie, is the chat I don't think is working.
You know, it's an instant teleseminar thing. The chat is like periodically it goes out to lunch, so it's not just me.
Oh.
Then thank you.
I haven't been able to get onto it the whole time, so I just gave up. So
yeah,
but yeah, so this is something that, you know, I think it keeps the majority of people from putting their, you know, foot in the water. I think that the it's terrorizing some of us.
Yeah,
especially those who have had jobs or something that, you know, we just feel like, oh my God, you know, if you've had a lot of trauma in the past, you know, and you've been told, you know, things that didn't help raise your confidence, you're just absolutely terrified of getting out there.
You know, one big thing that's really helped me as well with this fear, because I also had this huge fear of calling the groups. And, you know, it's like, oh my God, what if they reject me? Or, oh my God, what if they actually hire me and I have to do the presentation? You know, so there was a fear in a lot of different areas for me around this whole strategy. But focusing on, you know, just being prepared for it. That's why I have the script of what I'm going to say to a group organizer, knowing exactly how I envision the conversation going, knowing how I'm going to answer certain questions that they have, just being prepared around what are the benefits of my talk, how is this adding value to their group,
yep.
You know, so that they feel good, but being prepared for that, and then also being prepared for the speaking presentation, practicing over and over again, knowing that I feel confident, my start is good, my story, I know how it's going to come out because I've practiced it many times. And just even getting practice in front of smaller groups and starting with that, because smaller groups are easier than bigger groups, at least for me.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that's a great point. And the practice thing, what just came up for me is that you guys have each other. I mean, there's a lot of you in this group that you can call on each other and, you know, let us know if you need to act, how to get on a teleseminar line and just present to each other. Hey, I've got this thing going on. What do you think? So use each other as study buddies, so to speak, to help allay that fear.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
do it. And, you know, we're giving you the opportunity to do that as part of your certification requirements. And if anybody wants to do their certification requirement, their presentation part early, just let me know, and you can do that and practice something that you're going to do out to the public. And then you'll get your you're going to be able to check that off your certification requirements, too. So there's a lot of ways that we can support you here.
That sounds great.
Super, super great. Thank you for that question. And I know that that's, everybody's got that feeling, because, like, you know, it's known that people fear public speaking more than they fear death.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know, you're not alone. And everybody who's a successful speaker, you will ask them, were you born speaking like this, or were you scared to freaking death the first time you did it? And it's the fear that feel the fear. Use the technique Kim mentioned about knowing that you have such a message and so much passion. I know every single one of you has this passion for helping, for changing the world, for opening people's eyes up about things that the public doesn't get to hear because of the media. And you get to actually share that with people and change their lives. And who are you to deprive them of that because you're too scared, right? That's outside your scope of mission. And I love what you said about that. When you get outside of you and you get into them, the fear goes away.
Yeah. And I also have to remember, I wanted to tell Tony, bravo to you for the topic that you're giving to the group. I'm very proud of you as a fellow vegan and someone who's, I'm a physician assistant. I have studied medicine, and you know, my peers would have me prescribing medications and eating the standard diet, except, you know, maybe adding some salads to that. And I'm really grateful that there's people like this out there sharing. And I wanted to ask Kim another question. Kim, have you ever heard of tapping, EFT? And if you have, what do you think about using that for this, you know, for overcoming the fear and also for manifesting success in this speaking situation?
I know some people who use tapping very effectively. They'll tap right before a presentation to get into that right frame of mind that they want to be in. And, you know, definitely, you know, around the success. So, you know, maybe even like a good practice could be do your tapping ritual before you practice, so that the tapping always becomes a prerequisite before you practice your talk, so that when you do the real talk and you tap right before it, it's bringing you back to when you were practicing.
Oh, yeah.
And it becomes your ritual. And that could be very effective.
That's awesome. That's a great question. Thank you.
And when you say practicing, you're speaking about talking, like practicing to another group, or just practicing on your own without
practicing in front of the mirror, practicing in front of the video camera, because you want to practice in the privacy of your own home, in front of the mirror, in front of your friends, in front of the video camera. You want to do that a bunch of times before you do the real talk, so that you're more prepared. You know how things are going to go, and that's what I mean by practice. And I'm just thinking, like, do the tapping before you do that type of practice, and then do the tapping before you go in front of the live audience. And doing it that way will create that ritual for you, so that your mind will immediately, once you do the tapping, your mind will start to get into that frame of mind that it remembered doing when you were practicing in front of the mirror.
I love that.
When you're safe at home alone.
When you're safe at home. And, you know, I love what you said, though, about the video camera, because that's a good point. And you just sort of said it in passing, but I just wanted to really bring that up. How awesome is that? I mean, you don't need a video camera. You have a little iPhone, and you can get a little tripod for 10, 15 bucks that sticks into it. You can sit it on the counter in front of you, or you could get on your computer, and you can, you know, just have the webcam there doing it, and just practice it. Just do it. And then you get to see, oh, over there, I could have said that a little bit differently. Oh, great, I could have done that. And that's one of the best ways. It really shortcuts the success and you getting it honed in, because you actually see it. You're not just remembering,
yeah.
Oh, I think I stuttered there, and I think I should have said that more clear there. You see it, and you make notes, and then you do it again and again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, and you realize, you notice patterns with yourself, like, oh, my God, I never smile. You know, I thought I was smiling, but the video camera tells otherwise.
Yes.
You know, but I want to be smiling. You know, that type of thing. Or if you have a twitch, or if you do this weird thing with your hand, like, you're never going to know that unless you watch yourself.
Yep.
Right, exactly.
And that's
like
something that you might want to
check. What was that? What did you say, Kim?
I said, you know, if you do see it on video, you know, that might be something that you want to fix.
Yeah, it's awesome. And by the way, these guys are all coming next week for a retreat, and we're going to have a whole setup there with the video camera on tripods. So if anybody wants to go in the back and film each other or just film your stuff and be able to do that, we'll have that available for you. So I'm excited
awesome.
About that. So I don't see any questions typed in. I want you to repeat where they can get it. You can click on the link that's on the side of this site, but if you're not, you know, on the computer, obviously, Kim's going to give you the link again for where you can get her free. I mean, I will grab it. I'm going to grab it, too, because I want those scripts for when I talk to people, because I'm not scared anymore of talking to people as a group. What I'm scared of is calling the organizers and getting myself booked. Isn't that wild? I'll talk for days, you know, in front of people. I have no problem, but I'm scared to death of calling those organizers. So I want your scripts. So tell people how they can get your scripts.
Yeah, so they can grab that at seriouswomen.com/speaker-toolkit. And Sirius is CEREUS.
Yeah.
SiriusWomen.com/speaker-toolkit.
Yeah. Yeah, so I highly recommend you go out and do that. The more help you get along the way, the better. That's why we do these things. It's like just little bits to help you, little small pieces that are going to make huge impact on your bottom line and getting you out there. And you'll look back on this in a year if you actually follow through and get the scripts and start calling people. You're going, wow, I'm doing this. I'm actually doing this. So it's learn and then take action and learn from somebody who's already been there and done that so you don't have to reinvent the wheel. So I'm going to open Toni's line again. You're the only one that still has your hand up, Sue. I know you had a couple of other questions, and then we'll have to call it a day because we only have like 5 minutes left. So Toni, hello.
Okay. Hello. Thank you so much. I think it was Beverly for her kind words. Kim, thank you so much for the gift. I've already downloaded it, and I'm hopeful because I haven't read it yet, that there's some information in there that will help me for another first that I'm doing. I'm actually scheduled to do a tele-summit May 1st, and the topic is Your Life in Balance, and I'll be reaching out to experts who promote balance in different areas, and I'm hoping that there's something in that toolkit that will help me to be viewed as an expert and get people to say yes.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll glean some tips from that to
okay.
help you.
Great.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Did you have any other questions? Because you said you had a couple of others.
No, ma'am. I think I
think you've gotten your answers.
Yes, ma'am, I have. Thank you so much.
Congratulations on getting your speaking engagement.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. This is going out there on faith, basically, and believing in what I do and having so much support. I have to tell you that it would be a slower road and a slower pace if I did not feel supported first and foremost by Dr. Rita Marie's program, Great Foundation, and the wonderful experts that she has, come on, like yourself, who are helping me and all of us, actually, and encouraging us. And so now I have the confidence because I know that I have the support and very good information to move me forward. That doesn't mean that I'm going to perhaps be a disaster, and I mean that not in a bad way, where there'll be some learning opportunities, but it means that I will have all the tools at my disposal to go out there and do
right.
what I want to do. So thank
right.
you.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Kim, I really appreciate you taking your time today. You know, we've known each other for several years, and I've just watched you blossom in this, and I just love what you're doing, and I love what you're offering, and how authentic you are. Like, you're doing this from a heart. You're not teaching us, like, sleazy tools to get people to say yes. I've been to some of those speaker trainings where I need to say this, and I need to do that, and there's a lot of that soft foot kind of thing, and that's not what you're about. You're about just being real and saying, hey, this is what I have to offer, and I think that your people are going to benefit because, and I'd love to share. And then you're sharing and coming from a heart, and you're making an offer not because from the place of I have to make this offer because I have to make money because I have to pay the rent. You're making the offer from a place of, wow, I have a lot that I can share with these people. They need me, and I would be remiss if I didn't make an offer.
Yeah, so, and thank you so much for having me on. I was honored to be invited to do this, and I really had a great time today.
Great. Well, thank you. So go to seriouswomen.com/speaker toolkit, and if you're not sure, click on the link. Just go on to the link you got in the email from this, and you can click it, and you'll be able to click and get right to her site and download it. It's pretty straightforward. Tony's already done it, and I'm sure several of you have already done it. So thank you so much for being here, and we'll talk again soon. Bye-bye now.